This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So inshallah ta'ala, beginning from now, this year onwards, the khatira that I give will be on Wednesday nights rather than Tuesday. So every Wednesday inshallah will be my lecture inshallah ta'ala at EPIC. And of course, one of the ways we want to begin is that this is a new year for us. Yes, it is a Gregorian calendar, but still, psychologically, we feel a sense of time. We feel a sense of the swiftness of time. You know, so I'll betray my age. You all know roughly my age. I have memories of 1985 so vividly as a child. 1995, when I decided to pursue my Islamic studies. 2005, I decided to come back to the country of America. 2015, I had another major decision. Now we have 2025. SubhanAllah, how quickly time flies. Those that are older than me, you have memories, May of 1975 as well. SubhanAllah, this is the reality of life. How quickly time flies. And yes, it is even a Gregorian calendar, it doesn't matter. But the reminder of time is eternal. Doesn't matter what the day is. We should always be constantly thinking of time and how swiftly time flies. And I recited in Salat al-Isha a verse in the Quran, which we should also pause and think about, where Allah says, أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرُ. Didn't we give you enough time? عَمَّرَ, we gave you a life to live. تَعْمِير is to live a life. أَوَلَمْ نُعَمِّرْكُمْ, didn't we give you enough time? مَا يَتَذَكَّرُ فِيهِ مَنْ تَذَكَّرَ. Whoever wanted to benefit and take advantage of that time could have done so. And we know on the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask the people who don't have anything to show, how long did you stay? كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ, how long did you stay? And they will say that we لَبِثْنَا سَاعَةً, we stayed only an hour on earth. We didn't have that much time. In another verse in the Quran, when Allah says that قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ, tell me how many years did you have on this earth? The people on the Day of Judgment, they will swear to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, قَالُوا لَبِثْنَا يَوْمًا أَوْ بَعْضَ يَوْمٍ فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِينَ. You only gave us one day, O Allah. In their memories, in their time frame, that they have lived their whole life in this earth and they have nothing to show, they will say, oh Allah, you gave us one day or even half of a day. And they are so confident, they will say to Allah, oh Allah, go ask the angels that kept the hisab. Literally, they're majnoon, they've gone crazy on the Day of Judgment. They are so certain. Why are they certain? Because they don't have anything to show for all of those years they've been here on earth. They don't have anything to show. And they are so certain, how could we have lived 5, 10, 20, 50, 70 years and have nothing to show? And so they go a little bit mad and they will say on the Day of Judgment, Ya Allah, we promise you, you only gave us one day. You only gave us one day. In fact, you gave us only a few hours. Go check with the record keepers. Literally, it's in the Quran. فَاسْأَلِ الْعَادِينَ. And Allah will respond back to them. قَالَ إِن لَبِثْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. It is very true. You lived only a short period of time. You didn't think about this. If you only had تَتَفَكُّرْ and تَدَبُّرْ, you would have taken advantage of it. And so, the reality, oh brothers and sisters, and at the beginning of every time frame, we should remind ourselves of this. Time flies in the twinkling of an eye. And we all know this, and we all experience this. Go back to your memories when you were a teenager, when you were in your 20s, when you were in your 30s. Go back to last year. Go back to COVID. It seems so long ago, and yet it was yesterday, it was 2-3 years ago. This is the reality of how swiftly time flies. And so today I wanted to give a bit of a reminder about how to benefit and maximize from our time in light of the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, hadith is in Sahih Bukhari, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment, وَأَنْ يَتَقَارَبَ الزَّمَانِ, time will become shorter. Time will become taqarub. What does it mean, taqarub al-zaman? One of the interpretations, Imam An-Nawawi and others mentioned this, one of the interpretations is that time will not be as beneficial for later people as it was for earlier people. Time will not be as beneficial. Time will, we'll say in English, fly faster. Time will go faster for later people than it was for earlier people. Or we can also say there will be less barakah in time. There will be less barakah. And the concept of barakah is something I've spoken about, we should all be aware of. Barakah means the quantity is the same, but the quality is more. Because we all have the same day. The one who's the most productive and the one who's the least productive. The day that they have on earth is exactly the same. Quantity-wise, it's exactly the same. The one who lives 50 years, 60 years is exactly the same as everybody else who lives 50 years or 60 years. But then, subhanAllah, there are those people who in those 50 years, they accomplish what we cannot accomplish in hundreds of years. Imam An-Nawawi passed away in his 40s. And yet his books have filled the world. Imam al-Bukhari died in his early 60s. And yet you cannot give a khutbah or a dars or a khatira except that the stuff that he has done will be referenced. One lifetime, and yet it impacted a globe. Every great scholar of Islam, every single mover and shaker, every single intellectual, every single person who benefited mankind, they lived the same time frame. 10 years, 5 years, no major person lived 150 years, you know, in our recent memory. Nobody did this. But times have different barakah. Times have different utility. So, in today's brief khatira, I wanted to go over how many, 10, 12 points from the seerah, from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how to maximize not the quantity of time, but the barakah, the quality of time. Our Prophet ﷺ is another example. SubhanAllah, in 23 years, he was only 23 years preaching. 23 years. In 23 years, he, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, shaped the world. He changed the course of history like nobody else has done in entire lifetimes. In 2 decades, 20 years, what accomplishments he made. SubhanAllah, without a doubt, this demonstrates the barakah. The most mubarak life, of course, is his life. So let us look at his life and let us extract some of the benefits that we can all apply. First and foremost, in no particular order, I was just thinking about various things from his life cycle. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he always had a fairly regular routine when he was not traveling. It was not every day different schedule. No, he had a fairly regular routine. And what happens when you have a regular routine is your productivity increases. He would wake up roughly the same time. He would pray his tahajjud. After fajr, he would do his adhkar. Then he would turn around and speak to the sahaba for half an hour, 45 minutes until the sun went up. And then there might be delegations that came in. And then he would have a qailula, which is an afternoon sleep before salat al-dhuhr. And then between dhuhr and asr, other issues of this state and affair. And then after Asr, he always spent at least an hour with the family. He had so many of his wives. He would visit every one of them, make sure that they're taken care of. And then after Maghrib, come and sit between Maghrib and Isha and the masjid, any other affairs of the community. And then after Isha, private time with the wife that he was going to sleep with. And then begin routine again. A fairly straightforward schedule. And when you have a schedule, when you have a routine, then your productivity increases. If every day is a different schedule, if every day is an erratic thing, you don't know what you're going to do, your productivity will go down. Time management. And that's why in our entire Sharia, the rituals are actually embedded with time management. We have 5 daily salawat to always keep us in check. We have the monthly, we have the yearly Ramadan to keep us in check, the yearly zakah. Our whole rituals are also time management because Allah wants us to be productive. And by putting these reminders, as Allah says in the Quran, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. Salah is at mawqut, waqt. Salah has punctuality. There's a reason for this, because when your entire schedule is set, automatically the productivity increases. So point number one, as regular routine as you can. Point number two, from the sunnah we learn, from the seerah we learn, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam never slept too late in the daytime. No. He woke up early and he stayed awake early. Yes, he would have an afternoon nap, but like most of us, we wake up at what, 9, 10, 11 o'clock in the weekends? No. Every single day, he would wake up early and he would do the most necessary stuff right after the adhkar of fajr. Like the biggest issues that needed to be done, as Sahih Bukhari mentions, that after salat al-fajr, when he finishes adhkar, he would sit down and speak to the sahaba, get the updates, what happens, what we would call business hours, office hours. This would be right after salat al-fajr, he would do this. And he said in the authentic hadith, بُورِكَ لِأُمَّتِي فِي بُكُورِهَا. Allah has blessed the time for my ummah in the early mornings of the hour. And so he never overslept. He would always begin early day. In fact, way before us, he would begin tahajjud. Way before us, he would begin 3 a.m., 4 a.m. is when he would begin his routine. Even if we cannot begin then, at least at Fajr time, we would begin the day and make the most important aspects, the earliest aspects to do, as he himself would do. And he told us literally, Allah has blessed my ummah in the early morning hours. This is an authentic hadith. Burika li ummati fi bukuriha. Burika baraka fi bukuriha, in the early morning. Allah's baraka comes in the early morning. And so try your best to not sleep after Fajr and to do what needs to be done. Your biggest tasks, your most important tasks, do them right after Salat al-Fajr, as our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would do. Also, of the things that we learn from the seerah, is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam constantly taught us what is called muhasaba, i.e. you don't need a boss when you are reminding yourself of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't need another person to keep you in check when your conscience is keeping Allah azza wa jal in mind. So this is called muhasaba. How is muhasaba done? Muhasaba is done by a strong ta'alluq and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by reminding ourselves that we have to answer to Allah for what we've done, by always having the, for example, all of the ayat and hadith about time. For example, on the day of judgment, we all know the five questions. The Prophet ﷺ said, the feet of the son of Adam will not move until Allah asks him five questions. Two of those questions deal with time. Number one, what did you do with your youth? And number two, what did you accomplish in your life? Two of the five questions, that's like 30%. Two of the five questions deal with time. Your youth, which is the most vital, which is when you have the most energy. What did you do with your youth? And then your whole life, the time frame that I give you, what have you accomplished with your life? When we know that two of the five questions are going to deal with time, look at the Quran, how many verses about time. Wal fajr, wal asr, wal duha. Allah is giving qasam by the time. I just recited in the Quran as well, didn't we give you enough time? So when you think of all of the times Allah and His Messenger remind us of time. Why? Because this is muhasaba. You have to be monitoring the time that you have. Another thing we learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that when you look at his lifestyle, another amazing thing we learn, and that is that there's a healthy balance of taking care of multiple aspects. It's not just one chore and that's it. You will never be productive if you immerse yourself in only one thing. No, look at the seerah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of the affairs of the state. He took care of his own personal ibadah and dhikr. He took care of his society and people. He took care of his family, and everyone is being given a time. We are human beings. We cannot do one task, one chore for 24 hours a day, and that is not Islamic, and that is not something that will be productive. No, we must give every person the right that is due to them. We must give back to the community. We must give to our families. All too often, we people sacrifice one right for another, and that's not healthy. They'll sacrifice family for career, or career for family. That's not healthy. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of every aspect, and he, if you look at his schedule sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you literally have time frames dedicated for all of these different things. And when you do so, you find yourself productive and sane, mentally balanced. If you don't have these different slots to spread out, then you might actually not be mentally balanced. If you don't have work and you only have free time, if you don't have family and you only have work, if you don't have this community balance, you might possibly become slightly, you know, not normal. That's not healthy. The Sharia, the Quran, the Seerah, all of this teaches us to have a healthy balance. And so balance out every one of you. And I speak especially to those that are starting their careers, that yes, career is important, but spend some time with family as well. Family is also important. Don't sacrifice one for the other. And of course, each one of us has to decide where that line is. But the point is, each one should be given an emphasis like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. Also, by the way, when you give each one emphasis, there is one aspect definitely from the seerah we learn. Private time, alone time. This is something a lot of times we don't do. It's very important that every one of us have time we cut off from the dunya. We just sit and do dhikr or spend time in meditation and in ta'abbud and in, you know, zuhd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the tahajjud, qira'at al-Qur'an, that alone time, you cut yourself off from society every single day for at least 3 hours. The Prophet would have that alone time where he's cut off from everybody in his salat al-tahajjud. Minimum 3 hours he would do. I know that's a lot. Even 20 minutes for us, 5 minutes for us, half an hour, we have to have that alone time where we have nothing to do other than our own thoughts, our own contemplation, and our own dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another thing we learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he surrounded himself with people who were winners, who were motivational. He surrounded himself with those who accomplished things. If you surround yourself with people who think alike and who are going to accomplish things, it will rub off on you. And if you surround yourself with people that are losers, that have no ambition, what's going to happen? Look at the Sahaba. Look at how much they accomplished in each of their lifetimes, and look at the diversity of their talents. And so look at your friends, look at those whom you spend time with, and make sure they are movers and shakers. Make sure they are people who will benefit you, like the Prophet ﷺ, Sahaba. Every one of them is himself a living legend, and that demonstrates the synergy that when you're surrounded by people who are accomplishing a lot, you're also going to accomplish a lot. Another thing we learn from the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the dangers of procrastination. Of course, in his own life, he never procrastinated. But from the seerah we learn, from the Quran we learn, and from the seerah we learn what happens when you procrastinate. Look at the story of Ka'b ibn Malik when he procrastinated going on the Ghazwat al-Tabuk, right? He woke up, he goes, there's still some time, I'll do it at Dhuhr time. Dhuhr comes, he goes, I'll do a Qailula, I'll catch them up after Asr. He goes, it's late, tomorrow I'll do it. This next day he wakes up, 3 days go by, and that's it. What happens, happens. If you don't know the story, look it up. The famous story of Ka'b in the Ghazwat al-Tabuk, look it up, inshallah ta'ala. But what was the problem there? Procrastination. Keep on delaying. And there is a statement attributed to Ali radiallahu anh, and some say it is a hadith, but most likely it's a statement of the Sahaba, in which one of the Sahabi said, التسويفُ من الشيطان. Procrastination is from the tactics of shaitan. Procrastination is from shaitan. And there is another statement of the Sahaba, Ibn Mas'ud said, do not delay the task of today until tomorrow, because you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Do not delay the task of today until tomorrow. And how often, brothers and sisters, and I know this myself, and you know it yourself, you're like, this is not something urgent, let me do it till tomorrow. And then tomorrow, another thing happens, whether it's a flat tire, whether it is a small inconvenience, whether it is a chore, and you're like, oh my God, I had yesterday time, I could have done it, now today another thing came up. No, productivity means do not delay anything that can be accomplished today for tomorrow. And the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrates this. Another aspect we learn from the seerah is positivity, even in the face of failure. Don't let a failure cause you to have a setback. Don't let a negative cause you to think negative. Don't let the problems of the dunya impede your personal progress. No matter what happens, do something. And so many incidents from the seerah. For example, the most difficult time of the seerah was the incident of Ta'if. As he himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, he told our mother Aisha, he said, no day was more difficult for me than the day of Ta'if. And yet still, while he is bleeding, while there's still blood on his hands and in his feet, and Adas, the slave, the Christian slave from Nineveh, from Iraq, he comes his way, and he gives da'wah to Adas, and Adas converts to Islam, subhanallah. No matter how bad that day was, still he accomplished an amazing accomplishment. No matter how negative that day was, he didn't allow the negativity to rub off on him. He saw something positive and he contributed. And so we learn from this, no matter what the setbacks happen, it should not impact your attitude. The attitude of doing something, the attitude of moving, shaking, leaving a legacy, causing an impact. Whatever happens, there's always opportunities to do something of good somewhere. So we learn from the seerah, never allow a failure to cause you to become overwhelmed with grief, with stopping your trajectory. No, continue to do. Another reality we learn from the seerah, beautiful incidents from the seerah, is that the Prophet ﷺ made sure that nothing distracted him. Again, so many evidences for this. In something even as trivial that one day he was praying salah and there was a beautiful decoration, you know, on the rug. And he started looking at that decoration. And then he said to Aisha, you know, this decoration, it caused me to not concentrate in salah, so put it in another room. I don't want it in this room here. Literally something as trivial as the carpet being, you know, too decorated for him. He didn't like it and it affected his khushu' maybe by 1%. How is it going to affect his khushu' compared to us? So maybe the smallest amount it affected. And he said, you know what? I don't want it. No distraction. And he literally, you know, got rid of it. And then also one night, our mother Aisha felt sorry for him that he's sleeping on such a little thin mattress. So she gave up her side of the mattress. And she folded his multiple times and she slept on the sand. That's a sacrifice of our mother. So she gave her an extra mattress. Because of that, he overslept maybe half an hour, 20 minutes, we don't know. So it cut into his tahajjud. So he said to Aisha radiallahu anha, did you do something to the bed? She said, yes, I gave you my mattress. So he said, subhanAllah, don't do that again. I woke up late for tahajjud. SubhanAllah. Yani he literally, because of that softness, he little bit extra, goes, don't do that again, keep it back. He literally got rid of anything that he felt was a distraction. Now for him, some soft bed, I mean, we cannot compare ourselves to that, but definitely, I'm going to say something, sorry guys, but may Allah forgive us all. Do I need to tell you what distractions we have? He's worried about some decoration and some soft bed. We have created the art of distractions. We have created the methodology to kill 24 hours a day. May Allah forgive us, right? Social media and, you know, TikTok and Facebook and, you know, YouTube and the internet and, you know, this and that. May Allah forgive us. What is this other than distraction, right? What is this other than complete waste of time? How are you going to accomplish something when all you're doing is you're scrolling down Facebook and TikTok? How will you be a productive person when hours go by? Even the Prophet literally did not want any design because a little bit of khushu' maybe was just slightly impacted. Demonstrates, if you want to be productive, cut off that which will, you know, will bring about that distraction. And by the way, there are techniques to do this, right? That's another topic altogether. Put limits on your social media. You can put it on your phone, you know, 30 minutes. Because I understand. We need to update ourselves. We need to have contact with our friends. It's not, you know, it's a part of life. But you don't need to spend 5 hours. You don't need to spend hours and hours watching, you know, TV and whatnot. If you want to live a productive life, you're not going to live a productive life if the majority of your day is spent watching, you know, rays of light reflecting on your eyes, much of which is, you know, mubah, and much of which is not even mubah. Wallahu al-musta'an. So if you want to be productive, that's not going to happen. We learn from the seerah. Get rid of what? Distractions. So that's what we learn from the seerah. Another thing we learn from the seerah about productivity, make dua to Allah to be productive. There are many authentic hadith of them. One of the most, you know, famous hadith of the Prophet, he would say this regularly. It's a long hadith. The phrase we're interested in, wa a'udhu bika min al-ajzi wal-kasal. I seek refuge in you from incapacity and from laziness. If you want to be simple English, I seek refuge in you from not being able to do what I want to do. And I seek refuge in you from being lazy in doing what I need to do. He's seeking refuge in Allah from the inner issues of laziness and of not having determination. You don't want to be lazy. You don't want to be indeterminate. You want to be accomplished. You want to have an agenda. You have to have in your goal. You don't want to be aimless, wanderless. Or even if you have a goal, you don't want to be lazy in not accomplishing that goal. So you have to have a vision and you have to have energy to put into that vision. And that's what Allah says in the Quran, فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Once you have determined what you want to do, then you put your trust in Allah. That determination, that desire, I want to do something, it's straight from the seerah, straight from the Quran. And in fact, every successful person, Muslim or kafir, doesn't matter, successful here, meaning of the dunya, every mover and shaker has a vision, a passion, a dream. You're not going to accomplish something if you don't have a vision. So this is what our Prophet is saying. I seek refuge in you from being indeterminate, wandering aimlessly. And I seek refuge in you from being lazy, even if I have a dream, but I'm not going to accomplish that dream. No, you want both. So from the seerah we learn, make sure you have a vision and make sure you have the energy to put into that vision. Of the realities of the seerah as well that we learn is that the seerah teaches us that you constantly remind yourself of the fact that this dunya is temporary, and you remind yourself of the akhirah. What will this do? Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Akthiru min dhikri hadhim al-ladhat." Frequently think of that which will destroy all of the pleasures you are in. Frequently think of death. And he told us, go and visit the qubur because it reminds you of your final abode. And I've said this multiple times. We are told to think of death, not to live morbid lives, but to live productive lives. We are told to think of death because one of the most important factors that will make us productive is to realize none of us is going to be here after 100 years. Think about that. Not a single person sitting here will be here after 100 years. That is the reality. Not a single person here will be here after 100 years. How do we, when we know this reality, well then let's do something. We're going to have people that are going to remember us. Allah Azza wa Jalla will write down what we have done. We will not be able to change what we have done. So productivity will come when you realize our time in this dunya is finite. So constantly thinking of the akhirah, spirituality, iman, and death, all of these factors will actually make you more productive. And then the final point, again, much can be said here, but the final point, inshallah ta'ala, will do is perhaps, inshallah ta'ala, the most important one. And that is, the productive person realizes that ultimate productivity and ultimate success is not measured by people in this dunya. It's not measured by accomplishments that others can see. It is not measured by a legacy that is visual. It is measured by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, as long as you put in the effort, even if you fail in the eyes of men, the effort will make you a success in the scales of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Once you understand there is no failure if you put in the legitimate effort. And since Allah will judge success, not men, and since Allah will reward, and you don't care about what men do, since Allah will give the actual hisab, now you will feel liberated. I don't care if other people think I have failed. If I have put in the effort and Allah knows I've tried, then in the eyes of Allah, I have attained success. It is the single most motivational factor to achieve success. Because one of the biggest causes of failure is when you keep on trying and trying and trying and you perceive nothing happens, you throw up, you throw in the towel, you give up. I can't do it. It's not working. Nothing is happening. You want to solve Palestine problem. Thing after thing after thing, nothing's working. You want to bring about the izzah of the ummah. Your decades go by and then you think nothing is happening. But then if you start thinking, hold on a sec, Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask, what did I do? And as long as I tried, and as long as I attempted, and as long as I put in the effort, I have succeeded. All of a sudden you feel liberated because success is not judged by YouTube likes. Success is not judged by what other people think and do. Success is not judged by lobbying power, anything of this nature. Ultimate success is judged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He will judge you based upon what? Allah says in the Quran, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. Man shall only be given the effort he put in. And his efforts is what will be seen on the Day of Judgment. Notice, وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يُرَى. His sa'i, you think it means Safa and Marwa. No, sa'i actually means effort. And Safa and Marwa is called sa'i because it's an effort to walk that long. Sa'i actually means putting in an effort. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Man shall only get the effort. Notice, Allah didn't say result. Allah did not say result. Allah said the effort. And that's literally the entire message of the Quran. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْآخِرَةَ وَسَعَى لَهَا سَعْيَهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Whoever desires the akhirah and puts in the effort for the akhirah while he believes. فَأُولَٰئِكَ كَانَ سَعْيُهُمْ مَشْكُورًا. Their efforts will be rewarded. Notice, not their success, not their failure, not what other people think and do, the effort you put in. So realize, you want to be productive, all you have to do is put in the effort. And whether people think you're productive or not, how many were the scholars? They died in jail. They didn't realize they would be productive in their in after they died. Their books would be popular after they've left this earth. How many people, they didn't realize the impact they had until the akhirah goes on. How many of the shuhada of the early Muslims in Mecca, they did not see the conquest of Mecca. Are they failures? Hasha wa kalla, no. They have achieved success. Why? Because they put in the effort. So once you realize ultimate productivity only requires effort. And if you put in the effort correctly, sincerely, for the sake of Allah, you have achieved productivity and success. The only failure, if you don't put in the effort. If you literally give up and you do nothing, then you have failed. There is no failure. You can never fail if you try, if you do something, if you strive to bring about a change, a betterment in yourself, in your family, in your friends, you will never fail. Allah will reward you, and it is a resounding success. Once you understand, success is not in my hands, in your hands, in the public's hands. Success is in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all I have to do is show Allah I tried. All of a sudden, every day will be a productive day. Doesn't matter how bad the situation is. Look at our brothers and sisters in Palestine. That's what you call success, resolve, determination. The world has abandoned them. All of the Muslim nations have turned their back on them. They don't seem to have any hope. And yet still, they are shining role models and examples. Why? Because they realize they don't care about the dunya. They don't care about what other people do. They have to put in the effort and do. And when they do so, Allah will write success for them. So brothers and sisters, these are some of the aspects, inshallah ta'ala, that we want to maintain in order to bring about productivity and barakah in our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all of us to live fruitful and productive and useful lives. And a final announcement, tomorrow, as you know, there's going to be a winter storm coming, and Friday we'll probably have snow on the road. So it is up to you. You judge if you think it is dangerous to come to the masjid, if you think that the roads are not safe for you. You don't have to have a life and death situation. It's not to that level. If you think it is dangerous, you're not going to work, you're not going to the stores, then do not come to the masjid, and you're forgiven. And we will have Jumu'ah, because I'm going to live walking distance. I'll come. Whoever is able to come will come. If it is dangerous, you make a judgment call. By dangerous, I mean you think the car will slip. Simple as that. The Sharia actually allows even less than this. When it was raining a lot and it was very muddy, the Prophet said to Bilal, give the adhan, pray in your houses. Simply because it was slippery and muddy and it was just a hassle to come, he allowed them to pray in their houses. This is much more than muddy. It might be dangerous in the roads. So make a judgment call. If you feel there is a potential for an accident or something like this, you may stay at home and pray Salat al-Dhuhr. And if you are able to come, inshallah, we will have Jumu'ah over here. Jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.